I brought a couple different things with me this morning. Okay, two of things, and they're about the same, but I have a nice sponge here, and I put it in a plastic bag because it's an old sponge, and who knows what's on it. When you take a sponge, this sponge is all dried out. It's been used, but it's really thin. It hasn't had any water added to it in quite a while. And when you take it away from its source, it becomes all dried out and nasty. With a sponge like this, when it's taken away, sometimes if you take them and bend them, they'll crack. They become kind of hard. When you have a sponge that's taken away from its source, it dries out. Here we have a nice sponge. It's all nice and squishy. It's been filled up. It's still moist, and it's all nice and good. And this is a good sponge. This sponge, it can become good, but we have to do something to it to make it better, right? We got to add water to it, kind of bring it back to life a little bit. Last week we learned about wisdom, and we learned about the sources of wisdom and where we can find wisdom. The difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. And this week, Fred said we're talking about what happens when we ignore wisdom. And the thing is, if we take away our source and we stop coming to the Word of God, and we stop coming to prayer, and we stop listening to wise counsel, we take away the source that keeps us all nice and moist, and we become like this little dry sponge. It's hard. It's not very good for scrubbing or useful. If we stay away from our source and we don't keep filling ourselves with the nice moisture of wisdom, we're going to dry out and become a dry sponge. I'm going to turn it over to Fred to carry on.
Appreciate that, brother. It's good to see everybody here this morning. I started to list, we have several of our members who have not been here for a while who are with us this morning. I started to list all the names, and then I realized I might forget somebody because there are several. And we're certainly thankful, however, for all of you being back with us today and everything. It's always good to have our family together, and we appreciate that so very much. I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, if you will, please. We're reading that just a few moments here. Did you notice that we had somebody new on the percussion today? Did you notice that? Dory, yes. Did a good job. We appreciate that. I know she's a drummer, and so good to see her up here with the band today. Again, we're talking about godly wisdom. And again, last week we talked about how godly wisdom comes in various forms, and we looked at those different forms, and we'll talk about that in a moment here. But also today, we're going to talk about godly wisdom is often ignored. Now, last week I began my lesson by sharing with you some true incidents of people who demonstrated a lack of wisdom or a lack of intelligence. And this week, I want to come across a few more. Now, I told you last week about a dumb thing that an Oklahoma man did. So I thought that I wanted to share with you today that not only can Okies be a little bit dumb, but so can Hoosiers, okay? So I'm going to share with you about what an Indiana man did. A man in Hammond pretending to have a gun kidnapped a motorist and forced him to drive to two different ATMs. And after withdrawing the money from the last ATM, the kidnapper took off running down the street. And when the motorist called the police and reported the kidnapping, the officer asked, "Sir, how much money did the man withdraw?" "None," the man said. "He used his own ATM card." Maybe he just needed a ride to the bank. I don't know. A man walked into a Topeka, Kansas convenience store and asked for all the money in the cash drawer. Apparently, again, these are true incidents. Keep this in mind. Apparently, the take was too small, so he tried to make up for it by tying up the store clerk, and then he worked the counter himself for 3 more hours trying to make more money. And after a suspicious customer reported the man, the police showed up and grabbed the guy. But I'm wondering, wouldn't it be so much easier just to get a job working at a convenience store, you know? But he still was working there. During a police lineup in Los Angeles, the detective asked each man in the lineup to repeat the words, "Give me all your money or I will shoot." And from the robbery lineup, the suspect said, "That's not what I said." A motorist was unknowingly caught in an automated speed trap that measured his speed using radar and photographed his car. He later received in the mail a ticket for $80 and a photo of his license plate. But instead of payment, he sent the police a picture of $80. And several days later, he received another letter from the police that contained a photograph of handcuffs. Now, politicians, just last week, I'm talking about Wednesday or Thursday, a few days ago, California lawmakers have introduced a bill. I just said California, and you said, "Oh, okay." I saw some of you, "Oh, well." But California lawmakers have introduced a bill that will make it illegal for stores to display children's toys and clothing by gender, or otherwise be fined $1,000 for each offense. Now, the stores don't have to change the merchandise, they just can't display them under boys or girls. Now, for those of us who have kids and grandkids, you know, it's hard enough to find clothes for your kids, but now you have to go through both the boys' and the girls' clothes at the same time to find something to fit little Susie, okay? But this is such a bizarre thing. Did you hear that Hasbro is no longer going to sell Mr. Potato Head? Can no longer be called Mr. Potato Head or Mrs. Potato Head. So again, I think that all agree that wisdom is desperately needed in our world today. Amen? I get a big amen? Yes. But most importantly, we need godly wisdom. Now in our text, Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman. And Millie was wanting to inform me that she thought that was the way it's always been. Okay? But he personifies wisdom as a woman running frantically in the streets and at the city gates, shouting out to the people as they pass by, but her cries fall on deaf ears. I want you to listen to Solomon, Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 20. Listen to these words. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out in the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways, those who simply refuse to listen? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. And they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look to me, but will not find me. And since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. Solomon wants us to understand that wisdom, it has an important message, a divine message to share. But yet she is often ignored. Now, last week, we looked at how wisdom is made available through God's word, God's discipline, through fervent prayer, and through wise counsel of others. And this week, we will see that although godly wisdom is available to us in these many forms, she is often ignored, resulting in dire consequences. So I want us to begin here by taking a look, number one, at wisdom can be ignored and spurned, verses 24 through 25. Now again, Solomon said that wisdom calls out the streets and the gates of the city, but no one listens. But why? Why? Why do people not listen to wisdom? Why do we ignore life's reproofs? What does Solomon have to say about the reasons why we do not listen to wisdom? Number one is because of stubbornness. Say that with me. Stubbornness. Wisdom says in verse 24, "You rejected me when I called." Now the word reject is used often in the Old Testament for refusing established authority. You know, stubbornly and openly rejected it. As in the case of Pharaoh, when he refused to let the Hebrew people go in Exodus chapters 1 through 11. And although God warned Pharaoh through many rebukes, you know, one plague after another, to set his people free, he stubbornly refused to obey. After the ninth plague, when darkness fell all over Egypt for 3 days, Pharaoh finally tells Moses in Exodus 10 verse 28, he says, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." And that very night, God sent an angel to pass over the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh's firstborn son died, along with every firstborn child throughout the land of Egypt. But you know, we condemn Pharaoh's stubborn will, but aren't we just as stubborn sometimes? I'm glad my wife is not here to say amen to that. But husbands, when your wife asked you to do some chore around the house that you promised you would do for a long time, never did, and you are in the middle of the Colts game or the Pacers game, do you stubbornly sit there and ignore her? Husbands, do you do that? Your wife can stand in front of the television and you'll just sit there as if you could see right through her because you know she can't stand there forever, and if you budge, you're had. I mean, we're kind of stubborn about that, aren't we? And wives aren't quite so selfish as their husbands. No amens, please. But we're not quite as selfish as wives aren't as us husbands, we husbands. So they often have a reverse stubbornness. Husbands, you know, has this ever happened to you? I want you to think about this. You decide to take your wife out to a special dinner. You know, just the two of you. And so you get into the car and you ask, "Hun, where do you want to go eat?" And she says, "Sweetheart, it really doesn't matter to me. Wherever you want to go is fine." And you say, no, this is your night. I want to take you where you want to go eat." And so you sit in the car for 15 minutes trying to determine where to go eat. You know, the children are looking through the window and thinking, well, they're arguing about which restaurant to go to again. Finally, the husband says, "Okay, I'll choose." And so he drives to a nice steakhouse. After you're through eating, you get back in the car. The wife said, "You know, that was nice, but I would have preferred Italian." And, you know, we husbands were thinking, "Oh, please, Lord, please, why me, Lord?" You know? But on a serious note, there are those who refuse to obey God because of stubborn will. There are those who hear sermon after sermon, invitation song after invitation song, and still refuse to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, they know what they need to do. They know what they need to do, but they stubbornly refuse for one reason or another to accept the gospel. And even Christians get caught up, you know, get caught up in sin and stubbornly refuse to repent. I mean, they know what they are doing is wrong and sinful, but yet they choose to go their own way in stubborn defiance to God's will. We've all been there, haven't we? We've been there. But then secondly, another reason that wisdom is ignored is because of insensitivity. Say that with me, insensitivity. Wisdom goes on to say in the latter part of verse 24, she says, no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Again, wisdom is crying out in the streets. She's begging people to listen. She's holding out her hand for someone to take hold, but all pass by, paying no attention no attention to what she has to say. Sadly, there are those who become insensitive to the pleas of others. I mean, there are parents who plead with their teenagers to stay away from the wrong crowd, to say no to drugs and alcohol, to abstain from sexual immorality, only to have their children to break their hearts because of their rebellion. There are preachers, I know several, there are preachers who leave the ministry every single year because they preach their hearts out and no one listens. And even the very people that Jesus came to save wouldn't listen to him. I mean, Jesus looks over the city of Jerusalem, and in Matthew 23, verse 37, we see where Jesus laments and he cries. And he cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you to bring you wisdom. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus cries over Israel, over the city of Jerusalem, "I've come to save you. Won't you listen to what I have to say?" Jesus came to the Jews to save them from the destruction, but they wouldn't listen to his pleas. He preached the good news of the kingdom. He served them. He raised their dead. He healed their diseases. Jesus longed for the Jews to turn to him for salvation, but instead the majority rejected him as the Christ and crucified him as a blasphemer. If you have ever tried to pierce the armor plate of an insensitive individual, you know how frustrating that can be. I mean, you can plead and cry and beg some people to listen to what you have to say, and they just walk away as if they didn't hear anything you had to say at all. But then thirdly, wisdom is ignored because of indifference. Say that with me. Indifference. Again, in verse 25, wisdom says, "You ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke." I mean, have you ever tried to talk to somebody about something that is so dear to your heart and the person just rolls his or her eyes and you know that the person is thinking, "I really couldn't care less. I couldn't care less." I mean, parents get this all the time. Teachers and preachers get it. Sometimes teenagers even get it from their own parents when they're trying to talk to them. And all the counsel that wisdom is giving is being neglected by all those who pass by. The people couldn't care less what she had to say. Couldn't care less. But then secondly, we see here that ignoring wisdom results in serious consequences. Results in serious consequences. Again, verses 26 through 32. First of all, we see here that trouble comes to those who refuse and ignore wisdom. Again, wisdom is crying out in the streets, pleading with people to listen to the counsel that she has to give. But then in verse 27, we see here that she laughs. She laughs and mocks those very people as they suffer the consequences of the rebellion. She laughs and mocks at them. I mean, more often than not, when we refuse to listen to wise counsel, friends, we will be the worst for it. You believe that? If we don't listen, we will be the worst for it. I mean, the courts are overflowing with divorce cases because husbands and wives refuse to listen to the wise counsel and the small reproofs of each other. I mean, how many times have teenagers gotten into serious trouble, have been arrested, gotten pregnant, become drug and alcohol dependent, gotten beat up, maybe severely injured while driving intoxicated, and so on, all because they didn't listen to the wise counsel of their parents. Millions upon millions of people will be lost eternally because they rejected the wise counsel of God, refused to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, a New Zealand man, 39-year-old Ivan Segedin, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, was killed in this car. He was killed in this car after a low-impact car accident for refusing to wear a seatbelt. Ivan had been fined 32 times in 5 years for seatbelt offenses. And yet he ignored every warning and continued to drive without a seatbelt. And to keep from being stopped by the police, he decided to make a fake seatbelt in which he draped over his shoulder, giving the appearance that he was wearing one. It was found in the accident. I mean, his seatbelt was in working order, but he decided it was easier to take time to make a fake seatbelt than to buckle up. And the coroner wrote in this report, says, ultimately, Mr. Segedin's actions in driving without a seatbelt have cost him his life in an accident that he may very well have survived if only he had worn his seatbelt. Not listening to wisdom has consequences. But then we see here that as trouble comes, some will then, turn back to wisdom, for counsel, but then it's going to be too late. I mean, wisdom says in verse 28, says that when calamity and disaster come upon you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. I mean, wisdom has been pleading and begging people the streets to listen to her wise counsel, but no one cared what she had to say. They rejected her reproofs. They refused to take hold of her outstretched hand. But now, because of their suffering, they're ready to listen. Oh, speak, wisdom, speak. We need your counsel. We need your reproofs. But wisdom cannot be found. Isn't that just like us? I mean, we neglect the teachings of God. We reject His rebukes and, in discipline, we spurn the wise counsel of others. And then, like that dried up old sponge that cut itself off the source, we find ourselves in the very mess that we warned about and would not listen. And then, when calamity overtakes us like a storm and disaster sweeps over us like a whirlwind, we come crying for help in our time of trouble. But it's often too late. Wisdom said you had your chance. You had your chance, but you would not listen. And in this proverb, Solomon is merely urging people to give heed to the words of wisdom that are readily available in its various forms. And if we don't listen to wisdom, we will suffer the consequences. It's just a reality of life. It's just a reality of life. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, or that He won't forgive us, or that He won't help us. But the fact is, when wisdom tells us one thing and we do something else, problems will ensue. And have you ever noticed how difficult it is to get out of the mess that we get ourselves into? You ever notice that? We find our world turned upside down, and then we say, now I'm ready. I'm ready to listen. But it's often too late. Sometimes the problem is irreversible, as in the case of Ivan Segedin in New Zealand. Sometimes it's irreversible, or it's so big that it still takes a long time to fix. And that's why you want to listen to the wise counsel when it's given. Listen to what is said. Give heed to what is said. Apply it to your life. Now Solomon concludes this chapter by saying in verse 33, wisdom speaking, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. I'm glad that verse is there. Because this is what God wants for us. This is what He wants for us. It is for this very reason that God's Word has been preserved and carried down from generation to generation, because He wants what is best for us and our families. Do you believe that? God wants what is best for us. Say that with me. God wants what is best for us. The calamity and destruction that Solomon describes for those who reject God's wisdom are the very things that God wants us to avoid. God doesn't want this to happen. He doesn't want calamity to come. He doesn't want destruction. He wants what is best for us. And friends, I have learned the hard way that prevention is always easier than correction. I've learned it the hard way. I know what I'm talking about. I was raised to know God and Jesus Christ all of my life. How many of you were raised in the church? Will you raise your hand? Okay, several of you. I was raised to know Jesus and know God all of my life. I mean, growing up, seldom did we miss a worship service or a Bible class. If we did miss, we had to be pretty close to death. You know what I'm saying? We had to be on our deathbed. You know, okay, Fred, it looks like you're dying here. We'll leave you here and we'll go. Just leave you here. But I'll tell you, you know, back then we attended Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, evening worship, and Wednesday night Bible class. Each spring and fall, we attended a two-week revival. Every spring, every fall, not a three-day revival, not a week revival, a two-week revival. And if people were still coming, we added a week. We added a week. I never missed vacation Bible school or summer church camp. Never. I knew what the Bible said. I knew the do's and the don'ts. But you see, I didn't always listen to God's wisdom and apply it to my life. I didn't always apply it to my marriage. I didn't always apply it to my health. I didn't always apply it to my finances. And as a result, I suffered and my family suffered from doing my own thing and going my own way. And although I had repented long ago and over the years have endeavored to repair the damage done, we are still dealing. We're still dealing with some of the consequences of my disobedience and ignoring God's wisdom. We're still dealing with it. Friends, God is not a killjoy who delights in taking away all the fun stuff. But our Heavenly Father knows what is best for His children, and He wants to bless us abundantly if we only listen to and apply God's wisdom. Amen? That's what these lessons are about. That's what these lessons are about. Because God is warning us, I don't want you to deal with the calamity. I don't want you to deal with the disasters in your life. I want to bless you. So have you been ignoring God's wisdom? Well, the honest truth is, everybody here has. And if we were all honest, everybody could stand up and share their stories about what ignoring God's wisdom produced. They can share the calamities. They can share the disasters. They can share the problems that all could have been spared if only they would have listened to godly wisdom. We've all been there. But aren't you glad that we serve a God who forgives? A God who loves us deeply. A God who sent His Son Jesus to the cross to die in our place so that we can be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life. That's what God has done for us. Because He loves us. Again, the passage in Romans chapter 5 said that God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus. You know, even though we were sinners, that God demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were sinners, He said, Christ died for us. Did you notice that said the while we were sinners part? Did you notice that part? That God sent Jesus to us while we were sinners. Not good old godly people. Sinners. Sinners. Who deserved death, Romans 6:23 tells us. But because of God's great love for us, He sent Jesus as a free gift of eternal life. If you're here today and you want us to be praying for you, we want to pray for you today. We want to reach out to you and let you know that, hey, even though life may be tough and even though you may be dealing with consequences of your failure and your ignoring the wisdom of God, God loves you deeply. He cares for you. He cares for you. Now, this doesn't always mean that consequences are just going to vanish. Because consequences are hard. But it does mean where God says, from this day forward, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. That's what it means. And during this invitation song is an opportunity for you to come forward for prayer, for come forward. If you're just struggling, come forward for. If you don't even understand what it means to be a Christian, we want to talk to you about that. Whatever that need might be, we are here for you today. We're here to let you know that we love you, we care for you, and want you to know that you're not in this alone. You are in a room full of sinners. We're redeemed sinners. We are redeemed sinners. But we are sinners nonetheless. Don't ever forget that. Will you come? As together we stand and we sing.
I'd rather...